Generalization, catastrophizing, dichotomous thinking all act to generate a primal response. For example, shortness of breath is a primal response, as I've just mentioned earlier. If you recall, a primal response is one that is applied to automatic and unconscious involuntary actions or inhibition of a behavior pattern. A freeze reaction and mental blocking are examples of primal responses. These primal responses sometimes create a vicious cycle. Think of a client you have that exhibits primal responses as a response to anxiety. The spiraling or vicious cycle in anxiety disorders can be seen as you observe how a particular symptom may in itself pose a threat. This threat occurs because either by impairing performance or indicating to a suggestible client that it is a sign of a serious disorder. These secondary effects make your client feel even more vulnerable, as you know. As the sense of danger increases, more primal responses are activated, and this in turn may present further handicaps and threats. Unfortunately, feedback from others has a similar negative effect. Here's an example of how the cycle from impaired performance creates a vicious cycle. I treated a client, Joe, who had to give regular team presentations at work. Joe perceived serious flaws in his performance. He based this perception on negative responses from the team, such as yawning, restlessness, etc. Also, he felt he had a lack of organization, poor inflection, and rambling. Next, he had fears such as, I may not be able to hold their attention. They may look down on me because of my lapses. I may not be able to keep going. These ideas increased his sense of vulnerability and stirred up anxiety and other defense mechanisms. First, the unpleasant emotional experience served to distract him from the task at hand, just as would a sudden sharp pain. Second, he interpreted his anxiety as a sign that he was not functioning well and that he does not have control over himself. That is the intensity of his anxiety rather than any accurate assessment of his actual performance is taken as evidence of his dysfunction. He is in the grip of the notion such as, this is a sign that I am not making it, that I am not doing well. Therefore, his feelings of anxiety become a predictor of what he feels is really going on. As Joe's attention is diverted to his anxiety, there may indeed be an increase in his outward show of nervousness, as well as increased difficulty in performing. He became increasingly weak and powerless. He sensed his greatest danger and his vulnerability to be disapproval from the audience. He began to believe that he could not depend on his functional capabilities to see him through this crisis. However, if Joe received positive signals from the audience, he believes that he is performing well. He is less likely to feel threatened. He thinks, for instance, at least I'm getting across somewhat to the team, and they seem receptive, so I guess they are not going to attack me. Any inference with his voluntary control over his thinking and speech, over his posture, and over subjective sensations such as nervousness will decrease his self-confidence. However, symptoms such as swaying, a quivering voice, a faint feeling, loss of fluency, all had meaning to him to indicate, I'm not in control of my body. The sense of one's control slipping often means that anything can happen. Voluntary control is essentially devastating to people who place a high premium on having control because of their need for autonomy. The key point here is this. The negative evaluation of self, of performance, and of the audience's response increased the anxiety, which further interfered with the performance and reinforced Joe's notion of being deficient. Question 13. The negative evaluation of self may further interfere with what?